you would be seated for a moment. I'm Jeff Eaton. I'm the pastor here at Hope Church. If you're new or you're a guest of ours today, we're grateful that you're with us. We are doing communion back to back. Last Sunday, we took communion, which was the last Sunday of December. And we wanted to look back in the year of 2025 and just realize how faithful the Lord has been to us, how he has led us through. Obviously, his faithfulness goes way past last year. But today is the first Sunday of 2026. So we're going to remember his sacrifice today, his body given, his blood shed, as we rightfully are told to do. We are commanded to do this. But then in a moment, we're going to look into the future as best we can, knowing that in 2026, he's going to be faithful to us. Then the question really becomes about our own faithfulness. And so we're going to look at just really simple, basic steps on how we can look into 2026 and just maintain our faithfulness into the Lord. So I want to continue and give you a challenge of just setting up the day. We're looking at Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Now, Paul's writing this church because some really neat things are going on. Signs and wonders are going on. There's nothing wrong with that. There's even a hint in the area of Colossians where he's like, they're getting into angel worship. They're experiencing angels, and there are angels among us. Sometimes we forget about them. We don't realize really what roles they can play in our life. And with our busyness, we just don't focus on angels. These people were focusing a little too much on angels. He was writing them about don't get involved in the angel worship. He's going to remind them in this place, in this church, to keep their focus on the Lord. Now, what the Lord does in his angelic host and how he works through the Holy Spirit, totally his business. And he does that. But they were getting a little bit off focus. I want to remind you, and I'll say it again in a little while, when you and Jesus are out of line, everything's out of line. Okay? You just got to work on making sure you and Jesus are in line. Because when he and I are out of line, everything's out of line. One thing Paul's doing here is reminding us to walk with him and to recognize him. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him. Verse 7, rooted, which is a farming term. Just like if you want a great crop, it's got to have strong roots. And built up, which is a construction term, like a foundation and building it strong. Be rooted and built up in him. And established in your faith, which talks about you keeping your discipleship going. Don't stop. Keep it going. Maintain that. Just as you were taught, and then the outcome of that is you and I are overflowing with thanksgiving and gratitude. So I just want you to see a very simple discipled life of remaining, our focus remaining on him. We walk in him. We are rooted and established in him. We keep building that foundation for us. So we're going to have a time of prayer together. And in our time of prayer together, before we come to the table, remember his body given, his blood shed, we want to have a prayer, and we want our prayer to be that of gratefulness, overflowing with thanksgiving, even as we did last Sunday during this time. We can never thank him enough, can we? So let's bow before the Father. Will you do that with me? And let's begin our praying by telling the Father that we love him today from our hearts to his heart. We let him know that we love him. We love you, Father. Psalm 18:1, I love you, Lord, you are my strength. And then we move into being grateful and thankful. And let the Holy Spirit continually remind you of what you need to be thankful for. Father, our thankfulness is that you sent your son Jesus He is the great shepherd, the good shepherd, our shepherd. We lack nothing. And he leads us. And we thank you for that. We give you thanks, Lord, that he is our Savior. He came to save us. We can't save ourselves. We have no hope outside of your Son, our Savior. We see him as Redeemer, that he has bought us back. And we see him as a friend who lays down his life for a friend. And your word tells us no greater love has anybody than this, that he lay down his life for us. And we remember, Father, that you sent him to us as Savior, as Redeemer, as friend, that you intend for us to walk with him and to be established, rooted, and built up in him. And we thank you that he is the source of our salvation, our strength, even our life, both here and forever. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Amen. If you're serving communion today, would you go ahead and make your way to the table? And while they come, I want to explain some things to you all. Number one, we practice open communion. If you're here, you're from another church, you're a member, you're fine. It's up to you, but you're welcome to take communion with us. We remind you, this is not my table or our table, it's his table. The Spirit and the Bride say to come. We see it as a table of transformation, that this is a time for you to absolutely step out of rebellion. It's a time for you to start stepping into your faithfulness to the Lord and remembering all that he has done for you. We believe that the bread is symbolic, that it doesn't actually become the body of Christ. It's just a symbol. In a remembrance, we don't believe that the drink turns into the blood of Christ. We just believe it's symbolic of being the blood of Christ. And then we ask as we pass out the bread and the cup, just hold it, and we'll all take it together in a sign of unity and harmony together. And then later on, just simple logistics, hang on to your cup. You can throw it away as you leave. Or if it's your first communion, you can keep it. How about that? I just want to thank you that last Sunday we did this and we look back. This Sunday we're going to remember his sacrifice, but then his faithfulness is not in question. We're going to be able to look at ours. On that night, it was a common meal, and he took bread, and he said that this bread represents his body that was given to us. And he just used it as an illustration. As they need bread, they're going to need him. So he broke the bread, and before he passed it out to them, he gave thanks for the bread that represents his body. Let's pray and give thanks. Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus for us and to us, that he humbled himself and became one of us. We thank you for the mission of Christ. We thank you for the sacrifice of Christ, and we remember his body given to us today, and we say thank you. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Amen. Before we take the bread and we remember his body given, I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 for just a moment. The will they're talking about here is the will of Christ. By this will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Just give you a reminder, everything the Father gives us, it comes through Christ. Even his body, him coming to be us, was a mission of his. And that is to die for us, that we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ Jesus. Then I want you to look at Isaiah, the prophet, a long time ago. He was able to see what was going to happen to the body of Christ. Not only what happened to his body literally, but how people treated him in the body. He said he was despised and rejected by men. He became a man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like someone people turned away from. He was despised, rejected, and we didn't value him at all. Verse 4, yet he himself bore our sicknesses and he carried our pains. This is what the body of Christ did. But we in turn regarded him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. Verse 5, but he was pierced because of our transgressions. He was crushed because of our sins and iniquities. He was punished, for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. Verse 6, we all went astray like sheep. We've all turned our own way, and the Lord has punished him for that. He didn't punish you for that. Our rebellion and our turning away. He didn't punish us for that. He punished Christ for that. He punished him for the iniquity of us all. So it is his body given to us. And we need to be thankful for the body of Christ, that all he went through was for us and for me and for you. So take, eat, and remember the sacrifice of our Lord. On that night, he took the cup and he said, this represents his blood. The drink does. It is a cup of suffering. We handled that last Sunday. It is his blood needed to be shed so we could be forgiven and free. Before they drank and remembered, they gave thanks for the blood of Christ being shed. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the shed blood of Christ. It's no longer the blood of animals and goats and oxen. It is the blood of your Lamb, Lord, that you sent for us. And we remember his blood shed so we could be forgiven and free. And we say thank you. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. We pray together. Amen. Before we drink and remember his sacrifice, I want you to look at 1 Peter for just a moment and something that he wrote. For you know that you were redeemed from your empty way of life, inherited from the fathers, not with perishable things like silver or gold. Listen, God didn't buy us back with money. He didn't buy us back with dollar bills, silver or gold, or precious things that we consider valuable here on this earth. He bought us back with the shed blood of Christ. Remember, we went astray. It's our sins and iniquities that he handled, and he paid the penalty for that. We didn't pay for it. He paid for it. He took our debt. So he didn't buy us back with silver and gold. Look at verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, which is what we're remembering today, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. And then we look at Ephesians. Chapter 1, verse 7, we have redemption, bought us back in him through his blood. That's how he bought us back. He paid that price for us. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. So when you drink, you remember what this did for you, that his blood redeemed you, bought you back, not with money. Because what we have in remembering today is more valuable than anything on this earth. So take, drink, and remember the sacrifice of our Lord. I want to thank the team for serving today, for the team that put communion together, that put baptism together. God bless you, Benson. Have a good day. You keep that cup, okay? That's yours. Put it on your dresser somewhere, all right? I want to give you a bit of a challenge today before we leave. And I told you we were going to look forward. Obviously, when we take communion, we look back at his sacrifice and remember his sacrifice. But the challenge I want to give you right now is to look forward to 2026. I don't know about you, but I've already written 2025 on one of my checks. Have you already done that? I know some people don't use checks anymore. It's actually a check to my daughter, just to bless her on her trip back. And I had to void it out and then write it again for her. I was already forgetting about 2026, but we want to look forward for a moment. And his faithfulness in 2026 is not in question. The question is our faithfulness. And things are running out of control. In our own lives, the busyness, the rush, the race that is there among all of us. And I'm entering this challenge today as just a pastor, just a very simple pastor, your pastor. And that is to look at how we can strengthen our own faithfulness. And I want to start off with something really small, really basic. But there's kingdom principles. We're going to find them in Matthew and Luke, and it's the same principle. But it is about just being faithful in small things. I want you to look at Matthew 25, 21. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy." And then again in Luke 16:10, it's the same thing, same principle. "Whoever is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And whoever is unrighteous in very little is also unrighteous in much." We live in a culture of shortcuts. We hear what needs to be required of us, and then we go, "How can I take the shortcut?" We do it all the time, all the time. You can't jump over this kingdom principle. You can't go, I want to get the big stuff. I want to go on to the big stuff. To get to the bigger things, you've got to be faithful in the small things. So I want to give you a challenge in 2026 to just be faithful in the small things. One of my devotions recently was a story about the mental health in Zimbabwe. And I know there's mental health issues all over the world. But it was Christian psychiatrists and psychologists who were coming together on what they could do to just help people with their mental health. And very simply, which is the kind of preacher that I am and pastor that I am, I saw what they did, and they called them friendship benches. They realized that instead of people making time to see them, which they did and will continue to do, they found out that if they put grandmas, good old godly grandmas, and they put them on park benches strategically, or on benches where you pick up public transportation, and just put these godly grandmas there, that the mental health was going down, that things were getting better. Just a very simple thing of a godly grandma sitting on a bench, whether it's a park or it's a transportation bench, where they could just start talking to people, right? And grandmas, they can see your soul. Can't they, good old godly grandmas? They can see that. And it just in a very simple way, small thing. It wasn't something started by a pastor. It wasn't some church program. It was just praying Christian doctors in the mental health segment that said, this is what we need to do. And that's what they did. And they're seeing that people are being ministered to in an incredible way. Thank God for good old godly grandmas. Listen, be faithful in small things. What has God called you to do in 2026? We all think of the platform of our name being branded on social media. How many clicks? How many follows do you have? And we look at all that stuff. Just be faithful of where you are. It's amazing what a kingdom impact that will have for you. So start being faithful in small things. You don't have to come up with them. He promises to lead us in that. He promises to lead us in just the next steps. And then the rest of it is going to fall in place. I promise you that. My whole life has been nothing but that. Where he has led me, I've seen the next step, I take it, I see the next step, and I take it, and we just go on and watch how God impacts and influences and advances the kingdom of God. I want to give you some other ways about being faithful. Hebrews 10, verses 23 and 25. Let's hold on to the confession of hope, our hope without wavering. Hang in there, okay? He's going to lead us through. Just keep your faith and your trust in him, as we've been singing about today. Don't waver. It's going to be okay. For he who promised, and he does promise, is faithful. His faithfulness is not in question. I never question his faithfulness. But I can question mine, and I can question yours. Are we going to be faithful in 2026? I don't know what 2026 holds for you. I don't know what it holds for me. But I know this. I know that He will be with me. We handle that in Colossians already. As you have received Christ Jesus, walk in Him. Walk in Him. Be rooted and established in Him. He's going to lead us through. Verse 24. And let us be concerned about one another. No church program here. Nothing we're going to come up with. Just check on each other. Let's be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works and everything that it produces. Just give checkups to people that you know. When God puts that person on your heart and mind, just follow it. Just very simply follow it. And then check in with them. See what's going on. We go from there. Verse 25. I'm going to get to meddling here. I'm going to get into old time preaching here. You ready for that? Not staying away from our worship meetings. Just an intended pause. Growing up, you're going to think I did this because I was a preacher, but my son is 40, our daughter's 35. We don't have kids anymore. We have grown adults. But when they were little, this was a principle in the Eaton house, and it wasn't because I'm a preacher. And I don't want you to say, man, that's the way I want my preacher to be, because it had nothing to do with me being a preacher. But we had a principle in our house that if whatever we did on Saturday night kept you out of church on Sunday, we didn't do it again on Saturday night. That was our principle. I didn't do it because of the imagery of a preacher. I did it because we were setting aside Sundays. I just want to tell you, our culture has taken our Sundays and duped you with it, okay? And gotten to the point it's the most negotiable day of your week. Other days are non-negotiable. Sunday is negotiable. That needs to flip, ever how you do that. Don't stay away from our worship meetings. I'm going to tell you, you may not believe me. It's okay. I'm used to not being believed. I'm used to people lying to me all the time, okay? And the picture of this is we live in such a fast world and a rushed world, a multitasking world, that you're going, it's just our culture that's causing me to slip away. I want to remind you, I'm a preacher, okay? Let me tell you what's causing you to slip away. The enemy of God doesn't want you in the worship of God, doesn't want you in the Word of God, and doesn't want you with the people of God. Please remember that. You're going to say it's the culture and the rat race. And I'm going to remind you of Carl Jung's statement a long time ago, hurry is not of the devil, hurry is the devil. And the picture of that is we are working to a point where it's just becomes negotiable. And I can't change that in your life. That's just something you got to come up with, adhere to. But Scripture says, don't stay away from the worship meetings, the assembling of yourselves together, as some habitually do. But encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I want you to do well. Do you hear me? I'm not here to count your noses and your nickels. I'm here to see that you do well. And I know that when you and Jesus are out of line, I know that when I'm out of line with the Lord, everything else is out of line. And I want things to be in line for you. To be in a place of influence and impact and just faithfully living and starting in small things being done well. Now keep up with your church. Whichever church you go to, keep up with it. When you miss a Sunday, I hope you ask, what did I miss? We have an app for that. Keep up with the podcast. Share them with other people. And keep up with what's going on. If we're in a series together, keep up with that series. Don't just check it off that I missed a service or that I really didn't miss anything. And encourage other people to listen. Just don't drift. I don't want you to drift. You'll think it's the culture. I see it as the enemy. And I don't want you to drift. The whole book of Hebrews is about don't drift. Don't drift back. A word you're going to see in 2026 is the word invite. You're going to see this over and over and over again. It becomes it's got twofold meaning to it. Number one, I want you to invite him into what's going on in your life. Areas where you have doubt and worry and fear, where you have your questions, invite him into this. Look at Revelation 3:20. This is about inviting him in. I know it's about the church of Laodicea. I know it's about this church is neither hot or cold, it's lukewarm, and it literally makes him sick. And I know the picture of this is he's on the outside of that church trying to get in. Look at the verse. Listen, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door. And here's the part I want to emphasize. He said, I will come into him and have dinner with him or fellowship with him and he with me. I just want you to see the desire that the Lord has to live in fellowship with you. Back to Colossians at the beginning of the service. As you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, walk in him. He really wants that fellowship and relationship with you. I want you to see that in Scripture. Look at John 1:12, talking about receiving him. That all who receive him, he gave them the right to be the children of God to those who believe in his name. We do receive him. We do invite him in and receive him. Scripture says we do. I know there can be a debate over all that, but it says, but to all who did receive him, he gives you the right to be the children of God. Well, act like you're in a relationship with the Father and you're one of his children. And the only way we get there is through the person of Jesus. Look at Ephesians 3:16-20. And here's what I want you to see in this verse is that we're inviting him in again. I pray that he may grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power in the inner man in you through his spirit. Verse 17, and that the Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you be rooted. We've had that already, right? And just in another book, and firmly established in love. Verse 18, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length, the width, height, and the depth of God's love. That's fellowship with him. Verse 19, and to know the Messiah's love that surpasses knowledge, so you may be filled with all, it's in you, right? Filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20, now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask, think, or imagine, according to the power that works. Will you say those last two words with me? In you. So the word for 26 is going to be invite. Invite him into those areas of your life where you have doubt and worry and fear and questions. Invite him in there. The second invite that we're going to give is you invite simply other people. We're already doing that. They did it in the first service. Some of you are doing it faithfully. And you're inviting people just to come to a service with you. And then we want you to practice hospitality. Sit with them for a number of days and a number of weeks. Show them and introduce them to your staff and your leadership here. Show them how to check in children's ministry if that fits their family. And just introduce them to people. It becomes incredible how your simple invitation to other people. I know. It's hard enough to get you here. I get it. Trust me. But learn to start inviting other people, and you just showing that hospitality to them of not leaving them alone becomes incredible of what God does. Listen, we don't preach out of the Reader's Digest here, all right? They're going to get the Word of God here. They're going to hear the truth of God here, and they need to. But just your simple invitation leads to that. Very simple scripture, Luke 14:23. An event was going on. Other people were being invited and they gave excuses as to why they couldn't come. And then the master in this parable said to the slave, go out into the highways and lanes and make them come, compel them to come. so that my house will be filled. It's not so that I can count and see what our metric is. People ask me, how many people go to Hope Church? And my common answer is this, not enough. Not enough is just the way I answer them. Let the Lord use you to invite others and watch them step into faith and trust in the Lord. And then you just continually do that. Invite him in and then invite others. And then I'm going to ask you to do two other things, and I'll compile these here in just a second. Find one person to bless every week in 2026, just one. Somebody said in the early service after, well, why not make it two? I said, I'll just take one. Just take one. Who has the Lord impressed upon you to bless? You don't have to spend money on them, but who has he asked you to bless? And then there's another one. It's a one in one, like the bonus and foul shots in basketball. And that is, I encourage you, one family meal a week without devices. Turn off the phones, turn off the television, turn off the radio, turn off the podcasts. Quit the video game and just try to have one family meal together without devices. Some of you, you're looking at that going, why would you say that? Because most families don't even have that once a week. Just have a family meal. Say grace together, eat together, and then visibly look at each other together and share those times together. Jesus did some of his greatest teaching around the meal. For example, the one we just remembered. Do that. So here's the challenge. Be faithful in small things. If you want to start a granny bench, go ahead. But God may be showing you to start something that you can do to bless other people. I want you to encourage people to keep the faith. Disciple people the best you can and encourage them to keep the faith. Don't drift. And then invite him in. Guys, I want to speak to you. Go be alone. Go to the backyard, go to the garage, go to your truck or your car, whatever, and go be alone. And where you feel like you failed, and where you have your fears. Ladies, you're more apt to do this than any of us. I'm talking to my tribe today. Guys, go invite him in those situations of your life. Ask for help. He'll give it to you. And then invite other people. Sit with them and show hospitality. And then do the one in one. Bless somebody every week, just one. And then try to have that one family meal without devices. The invitation I'm going to give you today is to invite him in. That's where we're going to stay today. You may want to come and be prayed for, prayed with, prayed over, but just to invite him in. Your marriage, your home situation, where you work, your neighborhood, any conflicts, any doubts, any worries, any fears, any questions, invite him into that. That's where we are right now. So church, I'm going to ask you to stand where you are. Counselors, would you find your place today? And you may want to come. The invitation is whosoever will for whatever reason today, and you come. And the invitation specifically is this. Let's invite him in, okay? You come. Amen.